Welcome to Tekung Arts' first quarter 2017 earnings conference call. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question-and-answer session. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Rick Eisenberg for opening remarks and introductions. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us on today's call. Tekung Art announced its quarterly financial results yesterday, May 15th, and an earnings release is now available on the company's website and on financial sites. Today, you will hear from Tekung Art CFO, Mr. Leslie Chow, who will start off the call with a review of recent company developments, strategies, and basic operating results, and address financial results in more details. Mr. Chow will also be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows prepared remarks. Before we proceed, I would like to remind you of our safe harbor statement. Our conference call may include forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Although we believe that the expectations reflected in our forward-looking statements are reasonable as of today, those statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause the actual results to differ dramatically from those projected. There can be no assurance that those expectations will prove to be correct. Information about the risks associated with investing in Tekung Art is included in our filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, which we encourage you to review before making an investment decision. The company does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements as a result of new information, future events, changes in market conditions, or otherwise, except as required by law. Now I'm pleased to present Mr. Leslie Chow, CFO of Tekung Art. Leslie?
Thank you, Rick. And hello, everyone, and welcome to Tekung Art's first quarter 2017 conference call. I'm happy to report another quarter of growth during one of our seasonally slower periods due to the Chinese New Year holiday. Highlights of this quarter include year-over-year increases in revenue, gross profits, and ongoing improvement to our gross profit margin. We generated our third consecutive quarter of net cash generation, which is a testament to the strength of our business model. And we continue to invest in Tekung's long-term growth and development through infrastructure and R&D investments. We have also been focused on several important initiatives in recent months to further enhance our trading platform and brand visibility. By further developing Tekung's brand awareness, we believe we can list artworks of increased value and generate greater listing fees for Tekung in the future. We have no doubt that our recent acceptance by the New York Stock Exchange will enhance our ability over the long term to attract a more important class of Chinese artwork, antiques, gemstones, and jewelry for listing on the platform, as well as some prestigious artwork from around the world. We are already seeing the results. In the first quarter, the average new listing value increased from $189,000 per listing for all of 2016 to $352,000 per listing in the first quarter of 2017. Our trading liquidity increased as well, with transaction value totaling $4.7 billion in the first quarter of 2017, a 483% increase from $813 million in the first quarter of 2016. We intend to introduce additional marketing programs to our high-volume traders, which can help generate additional liquidity and overall revenue for Tekung. We are also excited about a number of exciting new R&D initiatives that can help drive sales and profits for our business in the years ahead, including Tekung Online, which we aim to roll out later this year. Tekung Online enables artists to sell entire pieces of artwork instead of shared ownership. Other projects underway will improve platform security enhance trader experience, and make our mobile app far more robust. We also plan to enrich the content on our website, on our site, by integrating art and design information to increase visit traffic and longer stay times. At this point, I'd like to review some key first quarter financial highlights and operating metrics with you. During the first quarter of 2017, total revenue increased by 12.7% to $4.3 million, primarily attributable to increases in listing fee revenue, commission fee revenue, and management fee revenue. During this quarter, listing fees and commission fees remained our two largest revenue contributors, accounting for 54% and 39.1% of total sales, respectively. This quarter, we also added 18 new listings with an aggregated listing value of $50.9 million, compared to 23 new listings with a combined listing value of $24.6 million in the same quarter last year. This increase in listing values results in a 5.1% increase in listing fee revenue this quarter. This also brings our total number of listings to 199 as of March 31st. Commission fees are calculated based on the percentage of the transaction value of artworks and are charged with the trading of the artwork units. We saw a 501% increase in trading volume and a 483% increase in transaction value for the 3 months ended March 31st, 2017, compared to the same period in 2016. Total transaction value in the first quarter of 2017 was $4.7 billion, compared to $813 million in the same quarter last year. Our resulting commission fees were $1.7 million, a 46.1% increase from $1.1 million in the same quarter of 2016. Management fees are charged for covering the insurance, storage, and transportation for the artwork and trading management of artwork units, which are calculated at $0.0013 per 100 artwork ownership shares per day. The increase in the number of listed artworks on our platform increased the total ownership shares, which in turn resulted in a 128% increase in the management fee revenue for this quarter. Cost of revenue was $0.2 million, or 6.1% of sales, in the first quarter of 2017, which is consistent with the cost of revenue in the first quarter of 2016. This was due to a constant cost of capitalizations, depreciations, and amortizations. Increased total revenue and consistent cost of revenue resulted in a 13.7% year-over-year improvement in gross profit to $4 million. Gross margin also increased slightly to 93.9% in the first quarter of this year, from 93.1% in the same quarter of 2016. Selling expenses in the first quarter of 2017 decreased 47.1% to $0.3 million from $0.6 million in the same quarter of 2016. As a result of total revenue, selling expenses were 7.9%, down from 16.8% in the first quarter of 2016. Our primary marketing strategies remains the ongoing rebate program, where we offer up to 60% of commission earned from transactions with new users to the individual that brought in new users. The rebates and discounts are recognized as a reduction of revenue instead of selling expenses. G&A expenses increased by 64.8% to $2.6 million in the first quarter of 2017. The increase in general and administrative expenses was due to the hiring of an additional 43 employees, new office space in Hong Kong, Shanghai, Hangzhou, and Tianjin, and an increase in traveling expenses related to uplisting onto the New York Stock Exchange. Due to this substantial increase in G&A expenses this quarter, income from operation decreased by 17.3% to $1.1 million. And operating margin decreased to 25.7% from 35% compared to the first quarter of 2016. Net income decreased by 20.3% to $0.9 million. Net margin was 20.4%, down from 28.9% in the first quarter of 2016. Fully diluted net income per share decreased to $0.08 from $0.1 in the first quarter of 2016. Now, I'd like to turn to the balance sheet and cash flow items. As of March 31st, 2017, we had $15.5 million in cash and cash equivalents. Net cash provided by operating activities for the 3 months ended March 31st, 2017 was $2.1 million, a 69.4% increase from $1.3 million last year. This year-on-year increase was largely due to a decrease in stock-based compensation, slower levels of accounts receivable growth, increases in prepayments and advances from customers, and an increase in changes of foreign currency exchange. Net cash used in investing activities for the 3 months ended March 31st, 2017 was $0.2 million, which include an approximately $60,000 payment for the purchase of property and equipment. Total shareholders' equity was $18.9 million as of March 31, 2017, compared to $17.6 million as of December 31, 2016. Looking ahead, we expect our existing platform to continue to generate stable gross profit levels and healthy levels of net cash from operations, while simultaneously developing new growth initiatives that can also contribute to our long-term revenue and profit generation. We believe our model to be highly attractive, and we look forward to sharing our progress with you in the coming months ahead. That concludes our prepared remarks. Operator, we are now ready to take some questions.
Thank you. We will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Our first question is from Matthew Larson of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it. Second time I've been on the conference call. And a couple of questions. I'll start off with a negative. I mean, since you got the listing on the big board of the New York Stock Exchange, stock's down 27%. I was hoping that that might be a catalyst, but the opposite, which is often the case in the investment business, holds true. You know, stocks run up in advance of news and then they sell off. Now, given that, I was hoping this quarter would show, I guess, a little more growth. I mean, it was so explosive last year leading up to the listing. But I have a couple of questions just to drill down. I mean, your earnings were a little lower. Revenues were up reasonably so year over year. It might be seasonally slow, but so was the comparison from last year. You're up 16%. And last year, it would have reflected a slower seasonal number. The thing that stands out, which you did touch on, was the G&A expense, you know, was up $1 million. And you said that that was primarily due to the expense to uplist and maybe some other things in there. Can we expect that to be, you know, not repeatable for the balance of the year? And should we expect the G&A expense to come down dramatically and not impact the bottom line?
Thank you, Matt, for joining the call again, and thank you for your questions. Yes, our G&A expenses was increased by $1 million compared to a year ago, and it is primarily because of three things. First, because the number of tech accounts that we have this year compared to last year, it went up to 96 employees from last year. And then we have also opened up offices in Hangzhou, Shanghai, and Tianjin, which we didn't have last year. That would be the second reasons for the increase from last year. And then thirdly, because of the expenses that we incurred for about the uplisting celebrations that we traveled to New York, but that only accounts for around $200,000.
All right. Well, nonetheless, I did a back of the envelope. If your expenses had grown, say, only $500,000, still a big pop, you would have, and if that had gone mostly to the bottom line, your, earnings would have been up 30% or so. So it would have, had a better headline number. With the headcount growth in the three new offices, can we expect, hopefully this quarter or in the near term, that these new employees in these offices should show a dramatic, not dramatic, that's a strong word, but a significant increase in revenues and in listings of artwork and in other areas that you all derive revenue from, because you've got more people, working for you, more offices.
Yeah, that's right. We have made a lot of investment in terms of hiring people and also opening an office. The Hangzhou office is primarily related to the research and development that we are doing with the technologies of our platform, making our platform more robust, and rolling out additional products and functionalities of our platform, which we will see developments in Q3 and Q4 this year. And about our core business, which is Taikong Unit, the share ownership structure, we are in the process of adjustment right now. Our plan is to reap the benefits of these investments towards the end of Q3 and Q4 of this year.
Okay. And just a couple other questions. You dutifully report your monthly transaction volume, which is robust, to say the least, certainly on a year-over-year basis, and even on a monthly basis seems to be rising. I think the latest was your March numbers, which came in at $1.9 billion. Can you tell us now what you did in April?
In April, the total trading amount went down to $1.2 billion in total, and we have made the decisions to not to release the monthly trading volume in every month, but instead we are going to disclose the number for every quarter going forward.
Why do you? It's still a big number relative to last year. But why would you, can you pinpoint why that's down, percentage-wise pretty dramatically from the previous few months?
Yes. We are, in the past year and in the last couple, especially in the last couple of months, we are doing a lot of marketing and marketing efforts to encourage our traders to trade and therefore increase the liquidity of the platform. And we continue to pursue that, but at this point we think the market is going to absorb the encouragement that we have, and going forward it's going to be a healthy trading volume on the platform. And it's $1.2 billion is still a very high number, and we expect it to grow back again or within the same level in the next few quarters.
All right. And then are some of the initiatives in coming out of the government there in the PRC to try and rein in some leverage and some shadow banking activities, things like that, is that affecting you? And I mention that because there's a company I'm familiar with that I'm looking at that trades primarily precious metals, gold, and on several futures exchange. One of them is a Guangdong exchange where they just shut down, okay? And that accounted for this particular company's, you know, 30 or 40% of their revenue. And, you know, I wouldn't really think that you all would be, you know, some area of excessive speculation that's going to, you know, create problems for what the government's trying to do to rein in off, you know, shadow banking and off balance sheet leverage and stuff. But are you feeling any headwinds from that, or are you just unaffected by that sort of initiative?
No, we don't really feel any effect by that, and you know, partly because probably because our platform is based in Hong Kong.
Oh, okay, makes sense.
Yeah, and we're not related to the shadow banking or, you know, leverage, you know, financing business.
Gotcha. All right, so it sounds like if you're growing organically and you're adding new artists. And you had talked about, you know, other areas of growth, which interests me, like memorabilia, maybe sports memorabilia, and you do trade precious gems and things like that. How's the growth of those businesses or the prospect for those businesses coming along?
Yes, we are in the past quarter, we are in deep.
I'm sorry, you're kind of breaking up. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you. It's as if there's a loose wire or something, or maybe if you're on a cell phone or something. But if you could just repeat that, please.
Yeah. Let me know if I start breaking up again.
Yeah, this is clear.
Okay, good. I said during the past quarter, we have been in further and deeper discussions with the counterparties that are key to this transaction, and we are very confident that this. Would happen. The new initiatives will happen towards the second half of the year, and so everything has been going well, especially being helped by the fact that we are listed on the New York Stock Exchange, and we really do see the effects of that, you know, in terms of negotiating deals with you know, counterparties for, you know, such new initiatives.
All right, and. Do you feel a need to have to raise capital in the near future, you know, for your growth, or is that something that you can put off until maybe, you know, your stock climbs back up to some of the levels we saw earlier, or, you know, is that just something that's not on the near horizon regardless?
In the near horizon, we do not have the immediate needs to raise capital. You know, as you know, we have been generating cash, as I mentioned. We have been generating
Sure.
cash for the last few quarters. So organically, we are pretty strong in terms of the cash balance that we have. You know, we may go out to the market and, you know, raise money, you know, through ATM, but, you know, it will not be, you know, a significant dollar amount.
All right, and can you give any guidance for the year for 2017 on what you can expect, what investors could expect from, you know, revenues and potential revenues and earnings levels?
Unfortunately, you know, right now we are in at a stage that you know, there are a lot of opportunities out there that, you know, we are in the process of discussing with. Therefore, you know, at this point, we are not prepared to give our guidance and the actual numbers for the year. But we are very confident that, you know, the growth of the company will, you know, continue. And also towards the end of this year, you know, a lot of the investment that we have made in the last, you know, few months will, you know, pay the rewards.
All right. Thanks for your time and for the information. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And once again, everyone, it is star one if you would like to ask a question. The next question is from John Preisler of RH Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Leslie. Hi, John. Sorry about that. Just got dropped off.
No problem. Can you just discuss the listing fee percentage in Q1 17?
Yeah,
the
listing
fee. Was it 40% or less than that? What number did you achieve in the listing fee percent?
Are you talking about the listing fee that we charge to the artist or the authorized agent?
Correct. To the artist.
Yeah. On average, the listing fee was 38%.
It seemed a little low versus prior quarters. Why was that?
Yeah. The reason being is that usually when we list higher dollar value items, the percentage of the listing fee will go down. So in Q4 or in the previous quarters, when we have listing the value of around 2-3 million Hong Kong dollars, then it would be higher to sometimes to 45% or 48% level. But in the past quarter in Q1, we had several big listing which is 10 million Hong Kong dollars. And those we charge around 38%.
Okay.
Instead of 40%.
Explains that. Okay. How much do you think gold and the Chinese New Year cost you guys in terms of revenues?
Yeah, well, of course, the Chinese New Year, it was a week of holidays, but the activities actually stopped like a week before. So in terms of the commissions, it's going to affect a lot, and it's also affect our, the timing for listing products on the platform. That creates a big impact to us in terms of both listing revenue and also the commission revenue.
The U.S. website doesn't show any listings post April through today. How many new listings? What's the U.S. or Hong Kong dollar amount of those new listings?
Yeah, in April we listed 6 products, and in May, which we are going on now, we are going to list 6 more.
And would you expect a similar for June?
Yes, we do. We expect to continue to have a pipeline of products being listed on platform, yes.
And what do you, the listings in April, what were the Hong Kong dollar amount of those April listings?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I would not be able to say the exact amount right now, but so far the listing value, or the average listing value, is lower than the Q1. We are in the process of changing the gear and list some higher dollar value products, and that's part of the reason why the listing pipeline has been slower than the previous quarters.
So you're trying to adjust to list higher value products going forward?
Yes, we do. We are in the process of, I would say, segregating our platform into the two, in which there are smaller dollar value items, will be in one tier, and also the higher dollar value item will be on another tier. And after we get uplisted to New York Stock Exchange, we feel like we have the initiatives to list a higher quality product, which in turn will be higher dollar listing value, and which in turn will generate more listing revenue going forward. So right now we are in the process of switching the gear from that perspective, but we are continuing to list the usual products that we have been listing on our products on our platform, but at the same time we are upgrading to a higher quality product, which will which will be good for our traders on the platform, and which will be good for us in the
sure.
long term future.
And when you say higher value, are we talking about in the millions or of U.S. dollars, or what do you guys consider higher value?
Yeah, we consider higher dollar value to be higher than 1.5 million U.S. dollars at this point. But We would like to list products that is, you know, even higher dollar value than that. And we want to list products which are internationally renowned and also, you know, have prestige associated with that. So that is the directions that we are going for.
And when do you will you achieve a listing like that in Q2 or Q3, do you think?
Yeah, I think by Q3 we will be able to you know, develop the two-tier structures. And we really hope, you know, in our plan and business plan, we will try to list at least one high dollar, you know, what we call the, you know, prestige level of product in Q4.
And that's excluding the sports segment that the prior caller inquired about, correct?
Yeah, that excludes the products that we have been listing, you know, for the usual operation.
So the higher value would be in the traditional art or other, you know, precious stone, et cetera, segment. But sports would be another adjacency that you might enter as well in both the lower tier and
definitely
the higher tier.
Yeah, the two-tier system applied to the unit platform. Which
okay.
applies to the traditional products, which is the gemstones and paintings.
And when do you, I think you mentioned sports or memorabilia might be launched in the second half of this year. What kind of, if you could kind of frame the opportunity, either from a revenue standpoint or a listing standpoint or a listing size standpoint, you know, to give investors a sense of the opportunity would be helpful, if you could.
Right. The sports memorabilia initiatives or verticals are something that we are developing in the sense of, you know, we had in the first quarter of 2017, we had all the technology ready to go. So, you know, when we have the products that we are going to launch in the second half of the year, then, you know, we have the technical abilities to list the products and also you know, from the operation point of view, we will be able to execute it. So once we, you know, list the first batch of products, we are expecting to continue to have, you know, that, you know, revenue streams or that business line going forward.
Do you have a sense for the quantity of listings and the dollar value of those listings in the first month or two?
Right now, we have not got to the stage of you know, the you know, product value or the listing value of the product. By the call for the Q2 earnings, I will be able to give more colors to that front.
And then Takung Online, I believe that's in beta. When is that going to be out of beta, and when do you think you'll start to generate revenues from that site?
Mm-hmm. We are expecting to move out from the beta phase in the second half of the year, you know, most likely in Q3. And we are in the process of determining the fee that we are going to charge for each transaction. So in terms of the revenue contributions, you know, we will be able to give more colors in next quarter call as well.
And what do you mentioned that you've seen some positive branding effects from the uplisting to NYSC. Can you talk about some tangible benefits? Are you seeing more dollars deposited into accounts by traders? Or any other kind of key metrics that you guys are watching to show some improved value from that listing?
Yeah, the biggest impact that we see is the number of people that have been approaching us, you know, hoping to do business with us, hoping to bring more products to our platform, and you know, the pipeline or the queue or the line is just getting longer. And that's why I said we see a lot of opportunities for growth in terms of the number of traders registered on our platform, which in turn will increase the customer deposit on our platform. So we certainly see that effect in this past month or two.
Do you, if I can just switch gears for a second to just G&A, and I know you talked to a couple of those issues, why it was up a year over year. It looks like it was still up quarter over quarter. So didn't NYSC costs and travel, et cetera, I think you called out $200,000. Excluding the $200,000, is that the right run rate going forward then? Or was there some one-time non-recurring costs and or expenses in Q1 as well?
Going forward, one of the components of the SG&A, which is stock-based compensation, will be lower. But we expect to have the same level of SG&A, going forward.
So should I think about $2.2 million a quarter, or a little higher than that?
Yeah, I think to 2.3 million would be a reasonable number.
I know you've added a team to help with marketing. You mentioned mobile and tech online, teeing up the sports vertical. When do you think we'll start to get some leverage from that investment? When do you think we'll see some more meaningful revenue growth? It sounds like a lot of things are in the second half, but it's a little unclear as to the magnitude of the revenue growth.
Mm-hmm. I think the majority of the revenue growth that we plan for the second half of the year will be the Tycoon units that we will list higher dollar value item. In terms of the other verticals that we are going to roll out, in Q3 and in Q4, it will be from the revenue contributions perspective, it may not have an immediate impact, as we will see from what we are going to list on the unit platform. We see this as a longer term growth. The Tycoon Online and Tycoon Unit Plus will bring to us in 2018. But we are planning to start that operations or start that revenue stream contributions towards the end of this year.
Have you guys been in discussion with any other partners in order to increase the flow of potential listings or as well on the marketing side to increase your distribution channel?
You mean the partners for
yeah,
for
so kind of a two-part. One is, are you pursuing partners in order to acquire more traders to your site? So that's part one. And part two, are you looking for more partners to create the opportunity for more listings?
Yes, definitely.
For example, like an anchor partner.
Yeah, one of the key counterparties that we have developed is the service organizations. And by service organization do, they bring in traders, and they encourage them to trade on our platform. So we see service organizations are very important to us. We have the rebate program for the service organization, which I mentioned on my earnings call just now, that we will rebate a certain percent of the commission generated by the traders that they bring onto the platform. So, we continue to see a increased interest of company approaching us to be our service organizations, and that will be one of the key factors for us to grow the number of traders on our platform.
Thank you for answering all my questions. I look forward to listening in on the next quarter call. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. There are no further questions in the queue at this time. I would like to turn the conference back over to management for closing remarks.
We thank you for joining us on today's call, and we appreciate your ongoing support. We look forward to updating you on our progress in the weeks and months ahead. Thank you again for your time today.